Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor in southern New England, where it's coming winter, and Jeremy Zachas is in New South Wales, where it's coming summer, the other side of the world. We go now to what happened in Perth, Australia, within these last weeks. The first test of ashes. The score was surprisingly lopsided. Jeremy says that Australia was so far ahead they didn't even finish the game. They didn't have to. There was no way the English team could close the gap. That led to a decision to have a very short first day or second day. And these things, Jeremy tells me, can go on for 8 hours and continue the next day. Hence, the audience comes prepared for a long, long contest. A lot of food, a lot of drinks, a lot of good times. And when it's short, well, Jeremy, what's happened to Perth and what did they do about it?
Well, John, we've had a very unusual problem because the two matches that were played in Perth were really only around about 8-9 hours each, which meant that you went kind of through the day, but you didn't come into the night. So the problem that's actually come out of this is the fact that Perth Stadium has got a glut, an oversupply of food. In fact, they have got literally thousands of pounds of too much food, because what normally happens, John, during the Ashes is it starts during the daytime. So often people will get there early. They kind of have a bit of a breakfast or a brunch, and then they'll stick around during the lunchtime period. So, of course, eating a lot of food there and of course, drinking beer and all the other good things that you tend to do at the Ashes. And then typically most of the games will then drag on into the night, which is also the same reason why they actually play with a pink ball during the Ashes, because it's easier to see at nighttime. So the whole thing is set up to actually go from day into night. But what actually happened in the 2 days that were in Perth for the Ashes, because both the Australian and the English teams played so poorly initially and were out so quickly, the first day didn't really quite make it to dinner, which meant all that catering that had ordered all that fresh food for the dinners basically didn't get sold. Then the second day, because the English had done so poorly and Australia effectively just walked over them so quickly, again, the dinner service wasn't actually to come to pass. So most people were already leaving the stadium by the time they would have actually had dinner, which means there was literally dozens and dozens of different varieties of fresh food that could not be sold and were laying around. So the Perth Stadium had to rush to figure out a solution to this problem. And luckily, John, I can say the solution is actually fantastic. They called an organization called OzHarvest, which basically provides charity to people in need. And all of that food that was otherwise going to have to be thrown out was rapidly rushed out to the OzHarvest charities and subsidiaries and got out to people who desperately need food and help during this time of year. So, John, who would have thought the fact that two teams playing so badly and so quickly actually have ramifications that literally cost millions and millions of dollars to the catering companies because there just wasn't anyone around long enough to actually eat that dinner service. So who knows what's going to happen for the rest of the Ashes, but I can tell you the guys in Queensland right now who are doing the catering are probably taking note of this. If the Aussie team and the Poms do so badly again, maybe they don't need to order quite so much food.
Jeremy, is there a particular menu or a particular kind of food that's associated with Perth? Let me give you an example. Bratwurst is associated with Wisconsin. And soft-shell crab is associated with Maryland. And I could go on, you know, yams are associated with certain states in the South. Here in Connecticut, I can't say exactly, but certainly we have lots of fish here. Lobster with Maine Is there anything like that for Western Australia, for Perth?
Oh, absolutely. Western Australia is very much a basic traditional Aussie food insofar as you have steaks and mash and kind of very, I guess, hearty and heavy type of foods. A lot of meat typically involved, which if you actually look at the provenance, I guess, in some ways of Perth, probably very closely aligns to the really hearty food you tend to get also in England, because Perth, like South Australia, for example, they were both settled as free colonies. They weren't actually convicts, which meant a lot of the traditional English food and cuisine was actually brought into those settlements very early and remains a staple part of their food. That's not to say that Perth doesn't have some fantastic and very exquisite restaurants as well. So they have pretty much the whole gamut of food. But typically, if you go to Perth and you're looking to get a true Aussie steak or, a true Aussie fish and chips, you'll be able to find it. And you'll be able to find it probably in loads, because that's really what Perth is known for. Good, simple food that just tastes really, really good.
We move on to the actual contest. Jeremy, did I use the right word, lopsided? And is there an explanation for it? We would say in baseball that the team didn't show up. Has that been explained?
It really hasn't, is the simple answer. And it certainly was lopsided, especially on day two. And I guess just to remind everyone as well what happened. On day one, England was gotten completely out. So the entire team who batted first was bowled out by the Australians in a record amount of overs. So it was really less than 40 overs, the whole team was out, which has never happened in an Ashes series. So that was the quickest we've ever seen in history. But then Australia did terrible as well. And basically, England was winning on day one. So at that point, it wasn't lopsided. But then England came back in to bat. And sure enough, once again, they were bowled out very, very quickly and really didn't make a lot of runs. It was only around about 200 runs in all. Then Australia came into bat, and their first two players managed to make more than enough runs to beat the English 200 runs, which meant the game was basically ended. England couldn't win because they weren't going to bat again. And that's where the lopsided part came into it. The English just could not bowl the Australians out. So the error seems to be in the way the English were bowling and fielding. But that really doesn't explain their poor batting as well. So England is keeping a little bit tight-lipped. They're being accused of being arrogant in some ways and maybe not having enough preparation going into this game, which honestly I don't really buy, because I know from what we spoke about, the English team were in Australia a long time ahead. They were certainly doing a lot of training and a lot of preparation. I think maybe in some ways that the pitch in Perth caught them a little bit off guard, because it was quite a bit harder, which meant the actual cricket ball itself was moving down the pitch towards the batsman very, very quickly, a lot quicker than they normally would see in England. So that probably threw them off kilter. But at the same time, too, they should have known that, and they really had practiced on the pitches enough to know that Australian pitches are a lot harder than some of the English ones. So I guess, John, that's a long way to say it was lopsided. We really don't know why. We're looking closely now at how England's preparing for Brisbane to see how maybe that, if that can give us an indicator of what they're focusing on, whether it's batting or bowling or anything like that, to give us a clue as to what they think was the issue. But honestly, that they just seemed to play badly, and it was badly all round.
Yes. Now, the Australian team you mentioned last week wasn't all that of a superior game. What was the weakness?
The weakness seemed to be in the batting too. So I think they got caught out a little bit by how quickly the ball was coming down the pitch. Once they got their eye in, I guess you could say, especially on that day too, the English couldn't bowl a ball fast enough or use enough technical complexity to really throw the Australian batters off, because Australian batters are used to, working on Australian pitches, so they know how the pitch is going to react. But I think it was the Australians just weren't really strong during the batting at the start. And at the same time too, even though they did get the English out very, very quickly, some of their bowling was a little bit, I guess you could say, iffy. It really wasn't as technically complex as we expected from the Australian team. So I dare say what they're probably doing right now and in the preparation to get into Brisbane, a lot of focus is also on the bowling actions of the Australian team. Because you must remember too, we haven't got some of our star players due to injuries, especially like Pat Cummins. So the team is still relatively junior when it comes to technical bowling and basically playing conservative style Ashes type cricket. So that could be a bit of it as well, which means we've just had, I guess you could say, the first test as a bit of a run-in for the Australian team as well. So Queensland is going to be very interesting. If truly it was just the pitch and the teams were a little bit unfamiliar with themselves, we should see a very strong competition in Brisbane. If, for example, England is fundamentally flawed, they brought out baseball style tactics again, or there's some strategy there where, which arguably they are trying to be very offensive and trying to get a lot of runs quickly, and it doesn't work. Then once they get to Brisbane, which is going to be a slower pitch because it's a much wetter, hotter, moist environment, I guess you could say, and the pitches tend to slow the ball down, it should come out very strongly that that is a problem there. But if the English come out strong, then it just shows that it might have been first test jitters. So, John, I can't wait. We're only now 3, 4 days away until the next test. It's going to be an absolute thriller. But we'll see what happens at the Gabba in Brisbane.
It'll be Thursday for you. What time during the day does it begin?
They're going to be starting around about 9, I believe, up in Queensland. So the coin toss, I think, is around 9, 9:30. They'll actually walk out onto the field, whoever bats first or bowls first, around about 10-ish, and then it should just go right through the day, hopefully.
And nobody works after that, right? I mean, all the offices are closed, traffic's light, everybody's gone home or to the pub to watch. Is that correct?
Oh, especially in Queensland, especially the Gabba, which is actually a stadium that is very, very close to Brisbane itself. And I've been in Queensland when there has been major cricket tests on, and honestly, you're exactly right. Brisbane turns out for it. A lot of people know too that around that part of Brisbane, it's really just it's terrible traffic, so no one really wants to get caught on it. So it'll be great fun for the next for the last couple of days this week in Brisbane, and hopefully we get all 4 days, which means it should go right through to the weekend as well. But truly, I mean, every time we get Ashes here in Australia, what you just described is exactly what tends to happen. People tend to stop there in some ways their lives just so you can watch it because it only comes around once every 18 to 12 months. So why wouldn't you?
Jeremy Zachas, New South Wales, waiting for the second test in Ashes, this time at Brisbane, where they're likely to get rain over the next week or so. It's been raining on and off along the whole of the east coast of Australia. That'll change the grounds again. Yet another excuse for the English team to provide explanation back home. Jeremy Zachas, I'm John Batchelor in southern New England, where it's just plain old coming winter. Baseball season's over. Football season grinds on. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. We'll be right back.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once, a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.